Over the airwaves, you're listening to JC Hawks Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to JC Hawks Radio, part of the JC Hawks Sports Network. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2017, and I am your host, JC Hawks. Today on the show, originally we were going to have Nate Lewis of US Sports Radio talking about what players should be doing off-season in order to prepare them for next season. Nate will be joining us next week, but today we're going to have a special clip on the before the WFA was the WFA. I had Jeff King on my show, and we did an interview. So this clip is going to be from December 21st, 2008, and the WFA had their inaugural season, April 2009. But before we play that clip, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at jc@jchawks.com, or you can call me at area code 916-238-5010. The chat room won't be open tonight since this is a pre-record, but if you'd like to contact me on Twitter, it's jc_hawks. The clip that I'm playing is about 54 minutes, so I'll be back right after the clip.
Well, you know, we were happy, and we were getting ready to pound out a schedule. We had came up with, you know, a solution for our small central at the time, and then right before we were going to announce something, we received a couple of phone calls from a couple of teams, and then the following day from the NWFA president, and we kind of got, you know, grandfathered over a big number of teams. So yeah, we've been busy spending time talking to everybody and letting everybody get to know me, and, you know, so they could feel comfortable with this move. And it's been, I could tell you, you know, as a whole, the owners that had to, you know, had to come over because of the changes or whatever in the NWFA they've been great. They've been a pleasure to work with. Very open-minded with, you know, everything, and I think everything's going to work out just fine for us. We're going to be a little bit busy here figuring out, you know, doing the schedule, adding some stuff, some teams into some other areas that we thought we were already done with. So, but, you know, it's a blessing. I think it's a blessing for our teams. It's a blessing for their teams also, because now travel is really going to be minimal, and it's going to be a very strong, every division is very strong, and, you know, the quarterfinals are going to be some in within the same region, so it's going to make it a lot more cost effective for everybody, and I'm really excited for everybody. So
yeah, looking back, you know, when you first came on the show in August, you know, you had some teams that were in the league and they didn't want to make it official just yet, so you were respecting them, and every month. When did it start coming together for you?
Well, I would say I was thinking, you know, in looking back, my head is so scrambled from dealing with all these teams and everything, but I think, you know, around September, we really saw, you know, a good group of teams that were interested to come in and really make the move. And you know, there was a few teams that we had to kind of tell them, you know, we didn't know if we had a place for them to play at the time, that ended up staying in the NWFA and then, of course, are now going to be in our league, you know, because some teams didn't want to be announced too early and too soon. So, you know, I think we had the feeling that we were going to be in the 20s, you know, in September, but then slowly as we got, you know, into October, you know, all that got clarified, and, you know, I think we've pretty much been a solid 20 since then, and November was when we had kind of caught wind that there might be some teams that, you know, that were still interested to come over, so we delayed the schedule, kept the door open, so to speak, for a little while. So, But it's been, you know, it's been ongoing since July, really, to be honest with you. We've had contact. Well, July 27th is when we first sent out the email feelers, and we never really contacted anyone that didn't reply back to us by email and show interest. So there has been 26, 27 teams, you know, from the very beginning who have been interested. And so, you know, I'd say it's been ongoing the whole time. And I, at this point, I think it's safe to say that we've got in everybody and anybody who's, you know, out there and not in a league. We've got them in at this time, and I don't think we'll be making any more additions. We'll just actually be starting to move forward, and I'll be able to start doing some work for the teams, you know, and start and go after some major sponsors and kind of finalizing our bylaws and actually our playoff structure. So it's exciting at this point. Once we get through the schedule and we get all the teams can get those dates, and, you know, because it's a lot to deal with, because it's not just one division, it's every division, and every team has to check, make sure they get the stadiums, and sometimes athletic directors make promises and then, you know, something comes up, and so things have to be changed. So I think it's awesome now that we've kind of grandfathered the new teams in, but it's going to be one more big mountain to climb as far as finalizing the schedule. Then I think it's going to be just smooth sailing from here on out, and going out there and fighting for some help for our owners, and which can then trickle down and you know, help the players out that are in the WFA. So it's been a lot of work, but it's been worth it. You know, it's very rewarding to be in contact with these teams and to have them, you know, just kind of praise us, so to speak, and tell us, you know, thank you and what a good job, and how it's going to make it a lot more feasible for them to run their program and take the pressure off, especially at this time that we're in such a bad economy. So, you know, it's a lot dealing with a bunch of different personalities and you know, wanting to be open with everyone and fair with everyone. You know, it made it harder to really get everything ironed out, instead of just being, you know, the dictator who was cut and dry and this is how it is. But, you know, I'm glad that I was like this. I'm glad I, you know, really didn't give up. I didn't fall under all the pressure from, you know, from the slander and made up stories and everybody challenging my integrity. And so it's just worth it. You know, I've always felt blessed, but it's just, you know, this is just reassuring that I'm doing the right thing now that we have, you know, we had 22 good owners, and now we're up, you know, we're upwards of 36 teams and 36 great owners. So it's really, or I should say ownership groups, because there's not, some of the teams are not individual owned, but it's just been really been awesome. I just cannot wait to get to the things that I'm good at, you know, taking care of the league and putting out any fires during the season and keep making sure all the games are played and you know, marketing our teams and giving them exposure. And I can't wait to get to the football stuff. You know, it seems like, well, even though all this is kind of tied together, but, you know, I'm just not really good at the salesman part. So, you know, I wanted to put a great product out there and a great system for everybody, and I was hoping everyone would just buy in. But, you know, there was a lot of having to kind of sell myself and sell the WFA. But it's, you know, we've came to that point, and now I'm ready to get with the, you know, just get the football games being played, get the referees united, and make this the best league in the country.
Hey, Jeff, for people that don't know who the Women's Football Alliance is, you know, they're familiar with the WPFL, the NWFA, and the IWFL. Why did you guys decide to start the Women's Football Alliance?
Okay, well, it was a kind of a two reasons were behind it. I'm already involved with you know, a local semi-pro league for the men, which I'm trying to really give opportunities back to young men to go back to college or go to some indoor football leagues or just to stay out of trouble. And I also run a postseason kind of after league national championship race to collectively, you know, give a reward for those teams that finished their league play and play in a championship. So it was time for me to actually move into either youth football or women's football. And the reason why I went to get involved with women's football before we started really doing anything with the youth is because my wife had played a few years with the Los Angeles Amazons, and I was able to travel to all the games. And originally it was the WPFL and then the NWSA. And, there, you know, I seen firsthand the involvement of the fans and the women playing the game, and then the cost, you know, and what was being given back to the teams, you know, versus what they were having to pay out. So I just thought it would be the perfect timing, since you know youth football has a lot of support across the country, and they all have parents still supporting them too, whereas, you know, the adult men and women are on their own. So I just thought it would be a great time to get involved, and I tried to get involved as a kind of a copy, you know, of what I was doing with the MLFA and the men, and that didn't seem to be supported very much by the heads of state or, you know, the league directors. So we decided to go ahead and put together a proposal for a league and something that would be affordable for everybody, and something that we thought would really spark the interest of all the owners and give them an opportunity to afford to have their team and to make it more cost efficient for the girls to play across the country. So, you know, this has not just been, we thought about this during the playoffs and we announced it on July 27th. It has been pretty much an effort of research and work and how we can do this, you know, throughout the whole season that went by last year, the whole spring. And it just seemed to be the time for us to do it, you know. And I really honestly think, I believe at this time in the economy and the way things are, you know, we really couldn't wait any longer. I think the owners needed us, and the women playing the sport needed us too. Because, you know, this day and age right now with this economy, you know, it's really hard to buy gear and to buy football shoes and then to go ahead and pay $1,200, $1,300 to play. And then the same thing for the owners, you know, to pay large amounts of money to have a football team. This really makes it tough. You know, it's already a lot of effort, a lot of free time that you have to put in being away from your family and your friends to have a football team, and then to have to, you know, to have it be a financial burden too, is difficult. So, you know, in knowing all that and being involved and being a football guy, and, you know, it was just time for us to come on board and to try to help this level and bring all the owners together, as many as we could, you know, and put our ideas out there. And I really just can't wait for the season to run and to go by and for teams to get their travel money checks, and for us to, you know, have our winner get their free uniforms and build their uniform on the GameWear website and order their rings. It's just really going to be awesome. I think a great reward for these women that are out there really pioneering in the sport. So it's wonderful.
Now, with the MLFA, the Minor League Football Alliance, that's the men's team, there's what, 160 men's teams?
Yeah.
About?
Yeah, we were upwards of 187, and then we had to kind of shell out some penalties for some of the leagues that ended up, you know, kind of saying that they would have problems participating in the playoffs. So, you know, sometimes we were upwards, we could have been over 200 teams, really. But, you know, we ended up with the teams that are listed are the teams that actually, in leagues that actually participated in our national playoffs. And it's been, basically everybody's just on a break at this time. We're getting ready to get started at the end of the, you know, at the beginning of the year, at the end of this month, to start bringing some new teams that are interested, some new leagues. We have a new structure, website. There's a bunch of things that are going to be happening new for the men come January 1st. So I just.
Yeah, are you going to be partnering like the men's team, like with the women's team, like for field, any field? Is there any interest in that? Maybe.
That was something that basically, with all this work that we've been doing, it's kind of been put on the back burner. But it's something that's really, that originally we said, you know, we thought would be wonderful that some of the men's teams could form partnerships. I know Kansas City has a partnership with the semi-pro team in their area, and I'm not sure what that partnership, you know, entails. But and I know Coach Anthony, you know, he has some connections with some of the semi-pro teams in Southern California, and he might utilize some of those connections for stadiums. But, yeah, in the process of us, you know, we want to finalize everything. I'd say the MLFA got put on hold for a month because of what, you know, because of the expansion of the WFA. And so once we finalize our schedule with the WFA, because that takes precedence on what I'm doing, then we will go through our normal stages of bringing in new teams and setting forth our structure for 2008 with the MLFA, and that will include contact information for teams and leagues that are in the same areas of WFA teams. So I will go and try to put those people into contact with each other, and then if they can work out a working relationship or come up with some other ideas outside the box that I'm giving them, then you know that would be great. So it's nothing's going to be mandatory in this first year for either side, but I'm sure if there's possibilities for them to work together with each other, then we'll do so. And you know, I hope the future holds us where we can get some collective ownership groups that are working together and really, you know, really cutting costs as far as stadium rentals are concerned or bus travel and certain things like that they can help themselves with. I think a lot of the men could really, you know, the men's players can really help the women's teams by coaching. So there's a lot of things that they can do for each other and work together for, and that will be some of the stages that will be, in the brand new process of the 2008 MLFA, that will be some of the things that we'll include for the men to get involved with, and the women's teams are always welcome, you know, to contact me to have me broker or anything between the teams or what have you. So that's still an idea. It's something that we've been battling so hard, you know, to build divisions and to take care of our teams that are in, and then with this new expansion, things are a little bit slow when it comes to that. But that's definitely something that you know, is going to be in our future for both our men and our women. I think that can help them both very, you know, very much so.
Now the men are being marketed as semi-pro. Are you going to be marketing the women as pro, or is there a reason why you would keep semi-pro or pro different?
Well, the men are actually the MLFA is the Minor League Football Alliance, so they're being marketed as minor league. A lot of times, you know, people like to use semi-pro to make it sound a little bit more serious than it is, but in all actuality, you know, you pay to play. And in the best case scenario, you show up with your gear and you don't have to pay to play. So technically, you know, it's minor league football across the board. We would like to, honestly, in the beginning, and this is something that Lisa and I go back and forth on, and she's right, we need to market our teams as amateur teams. We need to not try to go down a path of marketing ourselves as pro teams when we're not pro teams. When we're not paying our girls, when there's not major corporations and television rights and funding that make us pro. I honestly believe, and now this has changed since I did more and more research. You know, before I thought, hey, you can call yourself pro and that can motivate your players, but you can go in the public and you can act like you're amateur to get sponsoring or donations. But what I really think happens is if you look at it in the big picture and a little bit outside of the box, and you look at it as far as nationwide, I don't think that I think if we're acting pro, I think that there's a lot of companies that might feel that, you know, if we're pro already, then our owners are all independently wealthy, and we really don't need the help and the support as, you know, as an amateur association would. So I think it would benefit us a lot if we were to market ourselves as amateur. You know, you can still pay your staff, you can still be profitable, you can still prosper if you're in the right market, just as much as you could if you listed yourself as pro. But across the board, a lot of our owners and our teams are not in those type of markets that would benefit them. So I think it could only hurt us if we market ourselves as pro, you know, versus marking ourselves as amateur. I don't think that, you know, that hurts us in any way. So we need to clarify that we're going to be an amateur body of football in WFA. And, you know, of course, there's a few entities out there that can help us and will help us, you know, if we are amateur status. And for our women to be involved in the future with international play and sanctioned by the governing body of international football, you know, we need to be amateur. So I think it's in our best interest collectively across the board, you know, to label ourselves as amateur football, as minor league football. And I don't think that's a slap in the face for any of the girls. No. I don't think it's that at all. And, you know, really this year the MLFA national champion, the Pacifica Islanders, were a unanimous choice for everybody's national champion. You know, there's a lot of associations that just kind of put a team, they label a team. And they were, you know, they're the best champion. So they're, you know, and they were minor league, listed as a minor league football team. You know, and they're ranked higher than teams that call themselves semi-pro or developmental for the pro. So I think that's the best for us to go by. And I know some of the owners have some other thoughts about that, but collectively across the board and the research that I've done, and I really believe that we're more marketable, puts us in a better position to get some help from the powers to be that are out there, you know, if we market ourselves as minor league football for women.
You know, Jeff, one of the things that I did notice about your league, that you had said that you didn't mind if your team's outside the league. What are the guidelines playing out preseason and during the season for each team? I mean, do you have any guidelines? Like I said, if they wanted to play like an international team, let's say. The team was going abroad somewhere and they wanted to play an international team or another team in another league. What are your guidelines for that?
Well, there is now there's some things that's actually changed with the International Federation of American Football. So now you have to actually, to play anything internationally, you have to be, kind of get the okay from the International Federation of American Football. So, you know, we can't just schedule a game against a German team, show up in Germany, or have Germany show up over here without some repercussions, you know, and the repercussions would be the governing body of the, you know, the international league would fine, or it would hurt some of the teams internationally. So from here on out, everything has to be, you know, kind of approved through the International Federation of American Football for us to do anything outside of the United States as far as playing games. And it's not a problem. It's just, you know, they're putting some funding into all the European and international leagues out there, so now they kind of have a little bit more say in things. So we've kind of stepped back a little bit on that, and we've asked for approval for 2010. The plan for us still stays the same. We just, you know, we want to actually move back a little bit, take some small steps and work our way towards doing something in 2010 with the international stuff. So we removed the stuff from the website. We didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, rub anybody wrong, as we're actually getting approvals on all this stuff. So that's still in the mix. And as far as our teams, you know, if our teams get approval and are able to play games internationally, then we would support them. them wholeheartedly. As far as playing IWFL teams or playing teams that are independent out there, that's not, I've never, you know, from the beginning I've been open about that. I don't think that's a problem. I would love for our champion to play their champion at the very end. I would love for the powers that be out there to, you know, sanction it and govern it, and crown a true, a world champion, and maybe even line that winner up to play the European champion or what have you. Not sure if that'll happen, and I'm not sure how the IWFL feels about letting their teams play our teams on open bye dates. But I hope that they would be open minded about that. I would really, to me, I think it's good for football. And if a team has an open date, or for sure in their preseason or their postseason, have the will to want to play extra games, and there's nobody in their area except for their division, which they're already going to play or they already have played, versus some other IWFL teams around, I would hope that it'd be a possibility. Because, again, you know, who does it benefit? It benefits the girls who get the opportunity to play. And, it might bring a little bit of money into the host stadium and the team that's hosting it. So I think it's, only good can come of that. I don't think that people will jump ship and go to one league or the other just because somebody is beating the WFA, or the WFA is beating the IWFL, you know, what have you. So I'm open about that. That's fine with me. I encourage that as long as our teams, you know, just kind of be aware and know that they're free to go out and to do this because their president is put the stamp of approval on it. Now, if the IWFL doesn't agree to that, I would hope our owners, you know, don't push too hard and cause too many problems and force a team to play anyway, and then maybe that IWFL team has problems. You know, we don't want to try to do a good thing and then have a bad thing come of it. So that's pretty much how I feel about that. Well, I think if everybody gets their schedule, I mean, I know Dion and Anthony from Vegas and from California Link have some ideas and always have some great ideas and some great marketing stuff. And so I don't know if they're going to move forward with some of those ideas and pull something off. I think for the most part across the country, everyone's just kind of waiting for the final schedule and to see kind of how our schedule gets changed, what have you. You know, we now get pushed back to having our championship mid-August. Now, if some of our teams have problems getting fields in mid-August, having problems with, they're losing their coaches because that's also time for high school football to start and youth for Pop Warner to start and that kind of stuff, then we might have to bump our season up a few weeks early just so we don't finish so late. So at this point, it's probably not a good time for any team to schedule anything just yet, you know, thinking that we're going to kick off, say, April 18th, and we might have to move the kickoff a few weeks earlier. So for the most part, I think everybody is thinking and considering stuff. We have Coach Evans with the Tiger Cats up in New York. You know, he's got the dome up there, and we want to have a kickoff classic up there. So essentially, for two or three teams, there is an opportunity for preseason. That, again, they're just kind of waiting on the final date. They'd like to do it a few weeks in advance. And of course, West Coast teams are invited to come all that way. My idea to save some cost is to have, and I haven't spoke with Dion or Bryant or Coach Bartlett or anybody out there in Ventura or Marina, but I wouldn't mind having a kickoff classic in the West also. The bad thing about the West is, compared to the East, is there's just basically a set division. In the East, you can bring some other fresh teams in there to play that don't have that much travel. You know, for somebody, the closest people to the West would be the Midwest or the Texas division now in the WFA, and I think that would be that'd be quite a big trip, you know, for the preseason. But as this week will go by, we'll finish our schedule. Then we'll wait and see if the owners are okay with it, because of course, you know, the playoffs and the semifinals, if that runs into August, it's only going to affect the Final Four. So for the most part, it's not going to affect the whole league. But if it's a big concern, it's a big problem for our championship, then we might have to bump our season up a few weeks. And so, you know, to technically schedule a kickoff classic at this time or a preseason game at this time, I think, you know, we want to make sure it doesn't conflict with the schedule. But I would say, we're not going to kick off in March. It just might be a week or two early in April. So if our teams are listening out there at this time, if there's other teams that are listening and they'd like to look into playing some preseason games, I mean, feel free to contact each other and feel free to, you know, you can count on March being a safe month to play your preseason games, because our season won't kick off until April. It's not 100% sure if it'll be the second or third week that we do kick off in April.
Now, do you think you're going to have any preseason games? Talking about preseason games, is any of the teams in the league now considering maybe playing some preseason games before the season starts? Hey, Meg or Sanchez, do you have anything for Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, how does it feel to be now going from, you know, one of the three main leagues going down to one of the two main leagues and being a part of that?
Oh, geez, it feels awesome. You know, I think, as you know, I'm pretty much a grounded guy, you know, and I don't, for me personally, the gratifying part is how I can imagine how our teams feel, you know, how those teams in the Central feel, how, you know, Indiana and Toledo felt, you know, when we started getting the new addition. I know that, you know, our teams in the West, you know, from the beginning were, you know, were really, really interested in having a strong playoff scenario and having a, you know, a two or three round playoff. So I'm stoked, you know, even though, like I said in the beginning, it's caused a lot more work for Lisa and myself, and actually more for Lisa because she's technically the one really kind of ironing out the schedule. But it's great. It's a great feeling. I'm so confident that we're doing the right thing, and I believe this is all working out for a reason. And you know, I don't feel anything great about there just being two leagues at this time, because really my involvement with the men tell me that there is always leagues every year, and there's always new leagues every year. And I know it's a lot, it's very different with the women. And I know the IWFL and WFA will never have a working relationship if there's six other leagues popping up. So I feel confident that, you know, now that we're down to two main leagues, maybe we can form some type of working relationship to make sure that there's no other, you know, other little small entities popping up that dilutes us or cause problems in our areas. But it's a great feeling to know that we've expanded, you know, to what we have, and we've let these teams come in to play football, and we haven't shut down, you know, we haven't shut down any league. And to be honest with you, all this work is worth it, because it made me angry that the NWFA was going to, that it, on one hand it was hard for me, because I like the loyalty of the teams that stayed in the NWFA. That showed loyalty, that showed perseverance, and the people who stood up to these directors showed the love that they have for the game. But after their schedule was produced, you know, it was going to really kill the budget on a lot of the teams. So I'm so happy for that reason that we were able to come together and make it more financially feasible for the owners and for the women to play football. In all honesty, you know, that's what we want, and that's the biggest reward for me. It's not the fact that, you know, I can tell everybody the first year I came on board, you know, we had more teams than anybody ever had. You know, to me, it's just not my personality. You know, what I really want is to have the most involvement for the most affordable price, and have as many girls in the country, you know, playing this sport and getting involved with the sport, and then myself take that and try to collectively put that together with some of the other strong minds we have and real bright people that we have, and try to get us some corporate sponsoring and some major companies to kind of put their stamp on us. And I just think it's just going to be, you know, every year we can climb the ladder to be the best, you know, the best thing out there. And there's a lot of things are happening for us. You know, there's some problems out there with the Arena Football League, which in return kind of gives open market up a little bit for some other people. And, you know, I just think everything happens for a reason, and it's going to be a great season. I feel wonderful about the fact that we've grown over, you know, 35 teams, but I'm even more stoked that our owners are going to be able to have a good Christmas and not have to worry about, you know, how they're going to fulfill all the travel and the extra burden that was put on, you know, their budget because of the kind of division, you know, of the division. So it's awesome. I feel great about everything, but I'm even more stoked for our owners. I'm just very happy for them.
How about you, Sanchez? Do you have anything for Jeff?
Yeah. First of all, welcome to women's football. Second of all, with you guys being the quote-unquote new kids on the block in women's football, when the season's over with and you can look back on the season, what are you looking for as far as your end of your first year? What are you looking to accomplish? What are you looking to possibly? I know it's kind of hard because you haven't played the season, but what are you looking to, I guess, prove that what you put out there on the table as far as incentives, that it can be done? And do you even think in the future that the two leagues can work something out work something out to where it can be a workable situation, to where it can be a one unified league and or a championship, quote unquote, a real women's league championship?
Well, let's take the big question first, the last question. I'm completely open to working together. I think we run the leagues for maybe for the same reason, but, you know, one league is for profit, one league is not for profit. So I'm not sure how we could ever combine into one. I'm not sure how anybody would want to walk away from a great business, and I could never agree to making women's football a business. So I'm not sure if there ever will be just one league, but I'm more than willing to work on a collective working agreement with each other, you know, to basically not work against each other. We'll just leave it at that, and to possibly play a game against each other. I think that, you know, there's certain ways that we can support each other instead of tear each other down, and I would be more than willing to do that. And I think we can take the prime example that everyone has talked about in the past, and I know there's a lot of the younger players might, you know, weren't around during this time, but when the NFL and the AFL, you know, before they merged, they played each other in championships, and I think that they needed to come together as far as TV and everything like that, and all the million-dollar owners and what have you. So we're different than that, but I think that we can take an example from that, and we could actually still be two separate groups, still have two separate game plans, but yet be, you know, still be for women's football. And, you know, we could work together and then play an overall world championship and support the team that that comes out of that to hopefully play somebody internationally. So I really would be open to that, and I put that out there on the radio saying that I would I know maybe the words of partnership are a little bit harsh, that's why I haven't used that, but you know, a working relationship I think is very possible. And you know, going to the first half of your question, I think this year, if it goes by the way that I know it'll go by, I think that we'll have a better opportunity for a working relationship with the other league. And I would hope this year that we can understand as owners in the WFA that if we're willing, you know, if we're willing to work with each other and to be honest with each other and to really concentrate on our football teams and let the league concentrate on the league and what they believe is the betterment of the league, I think that we'll be successful just with that alone. I think that all these owners in the past have been, honestly, I'll say this wholeheartedly, I really honestly believe that it was some type of strategy in the other leagues, in the former leagues, to possibly maybe pit these owners against each other instead of having a full-on working relationship. It's nonsense, you know. If you have a team in your area and that team is going to be in your area, well, you better form a working relationship because, you know, if not, they're going to work against you. And if there's a second league to play in, then they're going to play in a second league. So I would hope that we can show, first off, we're going to produce everything that we promised, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing that's ever happened with women's football. When we cut our, as I'll take a quote from Phoenix Prowlers owner Bryant Sewell, he said, when you start passing out those travel checks, you know, people are really going to start seeing that you're serious about that. And so, you know, when we produce what we promised, I think it's going to really show that we're serious about this. And then when we come back for a second year and our prices stay the same and there's no mysterious extra cost all of a sudden for office and all this extra above and beyond and nickels and dimes like had been in the past, I think that they're going to see, like, they're also going to finally believe that everyone out there will see that the league itself means what it says, and we're about what we say, and we're going to move forward and be the best. At that time, we're already a success. It does not matter if we consume or have a partnership with anybody else. It matters. Our success really matters on our teams being able to financially come back and play in the league again the following year, have the will, have the non-gray hair or the hair not falling out or the ulcers, you know what I mean, that is always caused by the stress of not having enough money and having to scrape up money for the playoffs. You know, if we can take care of everybody, and the sad thing is there's always, you know, there's always going to be a loser and there's only going to be one winner at the end. But I think everyone, if they can really end this season with a good taste in their mouth and feel that they weren't, you know, taken to the cleaners and they weren't asked for above and beyond what they were told in the beginning, and all our games were played, I think that'll spark the growth of our league, and not only will all of our current teams come back, we'll have more teams to be involved. And so for me, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to really getting into the playoffs and giving these teams what was promised, producing what we promised for a championship, and really letting them see that the way that I was in July is the way that I am now in December, and it's the way that I will be in late July, early August at our championship. You know, I'm always going to be here for our owners. I'm an owner myself, you know, in the men's game. So basically, I feel everything that we do is based on an owner's point of view. So to me, the success of our league is based on the success of our owners, and I think that our system is going to make that possible. And, you know, if everyone works together and realizes that collectively, you know, we're unstoppable, then we should, you know, we should be above and beyond where we thought we'd be in our first year. So, and then when that happens, I believe everything else will just kind of fall into place, and at that point, we can be trusted by the other team and the other leagues or whatever have you that's out there, and start the process of doing what's best for football. I can tell you this right now. Whatever is best for our owners and whatever is best for women's football is the direction we're going to take. We're not looking for an avenue to, you know, to make this a business. Nobody's quitting their day job. This is for our owners to be successful and for them to also, in return, because I believe we have these type of owners all the way across the board, all the way, even our owners that want to be successful and they want this to be their business in the future, they still realize that they have to relieve the pressure, the financial pressure off the girls that play this game. And so with that goal in mind, you know, I think that we're going to be very successful and this thing is just going to continue to grow.
Sounds great, Jeff. Hey, do you have any final closing questions that you want to put out there to people?
Well, I would like to just say that that all the girls that are working there on the Women's Football Talk are doing a great job, and I would like to tell everyone that's listening out there that you know, the WFA is going to, this is something new, we haven't actually even told all of our owners. It's going to be kind of, since we had, you know, we have a whole new half of the league now that everything is kind of slowed, but, you know, we would like to start podcasting, simulcasting our games, and there's some information that's going to come out where, you know, we have an opportunity with you to start having our games put on the radio, and so, you know, friends and family that are living in different areas will be able to come to your websites and be able to listen to the games that are, you know, that they can click on and listen to during the week if they can't make the games. And I really think that this is going to be something to grow the sport. And I know I can't thank you enough for everything you do. It's meaningful for, you know, for all the girls that play to have a group out there that is so willing to cover everything and spend their free time, and it's just awesome. You know, I'm not sure if everybody realizes that there's, you know, we're almost like two peas in a pod here, because, you know, we want the best for football, and we do it, and we spend our extra time for the betterment of football. And so I just want to make sure that you guys are recognized for the great stuff that you're doing. And, you know, I don't want to take so much credit for me, you know, my wife and I coming on board and helping women's football this year. I think you've been helping women's football for a while, and I think together it's going to be awesome, because we're going to be able to give the women some more exposure by having their games, you know, being able to be podcasted and maybe hopefully simulcasted with some video and stuff. And it's just really going to be great. I think it's a great time to play women's football, and I just cannot. I really would actually like to just close my eyes and let a year go by, and just, you know what I mean, just really start thinking all these ideas and getting everything and going that we've been talking about. I can hardly wait. So I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. It's been a blessing. I know it's been a long time since I've been on the show, even though we've talked. But, you know, it's just, that's the way things worked out. It's just kind of taken such a long time, and I kept saying, okay, well, I'll come on and final, and then no, it's not final, and then, you know, okay, well, the Central, they'll be playing in the Northeast, and no, now we might have a Central. So I just didn't want to come out there and have a million different ideas and then, you know, have changes. And, you know, there's a lot of, a lot of people are waiting for us to fail. So I don't ever want to say anything a little bit too early or announce anything before it's, you know how we had a little problem with the West Virginia deal and all that kind of stuff. So it just has taken a while to get to this point, but I'm just very, I'm very grateful for the support and, you know, the media outlet that you have for the women is just wonderful. So you need to be commended for what you're doing, and it actually makes what we're doing easier. It really does. So.
And well, we want to thank you, too, for, you know, we built a good relationship, and, you know, when Nancy and I did come out and meet you guys in Fresno for lunch, and we talked about, you know, broadcasting your games and put more of that information out there. And as we finalize things with you and Lisa, you know, we sent some things to the owners for them to, you know, get some things going on. And but we want to thank you as well, you know, and for coming onto the show and for letting us know what's going on with your league and trusting us enough to let us know ahead of time before things happen. And I just want to thank you and Lisa for that.
Yeah, it's just been a blessing, and I really have met a lot of good people, and you know, it's really nice. It's nice to be able to be around some other people that are, you know, we have something huge in common. I mean, it's not a wonder why we got along so well before we met. It's not a wonder why we get along now, and why we had 4-hour lunch together, and there wasn't a 1 second of silence. You know, it's because our hearts are you know, in football. And maybe my heart wasn't originally, you know, into women's football, but it was for men's football, and that just makes my heart full of joy to help football, whether it's men or women. And you know, I know you feel the same way about the sport, and you love to play the sport, and so you know, it's no wonder that we get along. I think our working relationship is just going to grow, but you know, it's just really huge. I mean, the men. You know, there's 875 men's teams, 67 leagues, and they don't have this. They don't have somebody who loves the sport so much that they're willing to do this. You know, so it's a huge thing. It's a big deal, and I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready to. You know, of course, we've been so busy about everything. We have to finalize one thing before we can finalize another. But I can tell everybody listening that, you know, this will be our official media outlet. You'll be the first one to know and put our information out there when we have big announcements, when we're able to get our games podcasted or simulcasted or videos or what have you. So, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome to have that for the women, and it's a great thing. And I'm grateful for, you know, for us to have cross paths, and you know, you've helped us a lot in this whole thing. It's really kind of, you know, to have your stamp of approval, I think, or you know, saying that we are what we are, and I think a lot of other people out there can actually, you know, it'd be hard to believe me saying that I'm one way, but I think with your collective experience and you know, your non-biased reporting about everything, I think they know when you say that, you know, this guy's serious, he's about football, I think they believe you, and that's really helped us a lot, because it's just, you know, we were the new kids on the block. It doesn't matter how much experience I've had with men's football, this was the first, you know, the first time with the women, and as much as I can say, men, football is football, it's just, I'm a different guy coming into a different group, and so it was really good to get kind of the stamp of approval from your group, because I really do think it helped. It helped people, it helped owners, especially some of the female owners, to really take a step back and to listen to or to research, you know, what was being said or not being said, and to make their own collective decisions on things, and so you've really helped us a lot. So thank you one more time. It's been wonderful, and this is going to be something that's just huge for women's football. I mean, for to have more involvement across the board is going to be great. To have more teams in the future across the board and have a bigger playoff is going to be great. All the rewards for the teams that are in the playoffs and the championships are going to be great. But every week to have games on the internet and for family and relatives living in different areas to be able to go and click on your website and to watch their granddaughters or their daughters or possibly maybe even their wives in some other areas or whatever, you know, I think that that's just that's huge for the sport, and it's gonna make it grow even more so. You know, and
I know Lisa's listening, so tell Lisa the next time she's gonna come on too. put her on the spot.
she's actually in the living room, and then she's listening on the laptop, and she's probably writing down everything that I did wrong and gonna correct
me. You didn't do anything wrong, Jeff. But again, we want to thank you so much, Jeff, for coming on the show, and to wish you a happy holidays this season, Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk before the year's up.
Right, yeah. Just at any time, feel free to call us, and I would like to wish you and everyone with your agency and your group Merry, Merry Christmas, and your family and friends and everybody who's listening. I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and for the WFA owners, this is, you know, I think the New Year's resolution for all of our teams should be is seeing the championship and what ring size do we need. You know, everyone should be fighting to get that ring this year, this upcoming year in 2009. So I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and best of luck for the race for the WFA championship.
Great. Okay, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. You have a good night now.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. For those listening, that was Jeff King, president of the Women's Football Alliance. Their season is to kick off April 2009. You can check out their website at womensfootballalliance.com.
We are back. I hope you enjoyed that clip. There are actually a few others out there that we did. I think we did a total of 3 interviews with Jeff King. So if you want to go back to womensfootballtalk.com and put in Jeff King, and you'll be able to find those interviews. So don't forget, tomorrow night is the 5th quarter with Coach Johnson. We actually had the pilot last Tuesday. He will be on the air 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tomorrow he'll be going more into the championship games of the USWFL. So be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on jchawks.com. So I want to thank you all for listening. And next week, Nate Lewis will be on the show. Also, I am trying to get a company out to talk about more on equipment. I'm specifically interested in the helmet and shoulder pads. So tune in next week, Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Happy Monday, everybody.